Our scripture reading this morning from the 15th chapter of John. I see on the screen they've got it from verses 9 through 17, but I'm only going to read from verses 12 through 17. I can do different because that's all that I have on my script here. But it will not do you harm when they go through that. But from the 12th verse, and then on Thursday evening with our Christian Enrichment Center, we had such a fantastic discussion about another translation of the Bible. It is called The Message. So I challenged our students there. I said, why don't you go out and go and look at this Message translation? And I got a few emails back. Some of our Christian Enrichment people said, wow, that's really special. So we just got a short reading this morning. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read our regular scripture reading from our New Revised Standard Version. And thereafter, I'm going to read the same verses. It's only a few verses, only five. I'm going to read them in the Message so that you can compare the two. The one is written in traditional language. The other one is a modern translation. See if you like it. John 15, verse 12 through 17. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. And then the same words from the Message Bible. This is my command. Love one another the way I loved you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. You are my friends when you do the things I command you. I'm no longer calling you servants, because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. Here ends our scripture readings. May it be that you and I, as we listen to the proclamation of the Message, that we will all feel that God is speaking to us through the words of others. Some of us will remember the cartoons of the older days that you can imagine Lucy, you know who I'm talking about, is standing with her arms folded and she has a resolute expression on her face while Charlie Brown is pleading with her. He said, Lucy, you must be much more loving. This world really needs love. Lucy, you have to let yourself love to make this world a better place in which to live. And at that point, Lucy whirls around angrily, causing Charlie Brown to do a backwards flip and scream at him, "Look, blockhead, the world I love, it is people that I cannot stand." I hope that many of us enjoyed an extra hour of rest last evening. As I said to my wife, some of as the years go on, we get our body clocks, and they can move the clock as much as they like, but our body tells us when to wake up and when to go to bed. I don't know if you're the same, but still we had an extra hour. So I hope that we all got the chance for some extra rest, and we are also living in a time of change. The winter is now really upon us. We welcome our winter residents and visitors from up north. And the first thing that we tell them when they get back from up north, glad you weren't here in Florida just a few months ago. We have indeed had a tough hurricane season, and many things happened. We had hurricanes, not only us. We only had a little tropical storm, but other people. And then after all, the media tells us, no matter where you were, you know about the storms. We know what happened in Texas. We know what happened up north. It was indeed a tough hurricane season, and we hope it is now over. We follow the news. I want to tell you one thing that we have learned about people who were complete strangers before, reached out and helped one another. People who were struck by these storms will tell you that people that they never knew before came over and helped them, and strangers became friends. It was just one of those seasons. It happened to us down there in Merritt Island. We didn't have much damage, not much to complain about. But you wouldn't believe it. Couldn't walk in the streets. They were rowing with a rowboat outside our front door. And people waded through the water, and they came and they knocked on our doors, and they said, "Are you doing okay?" And that bothered me so much, because I said to my wife, "You know what? We've lived here for 7 years, and I have acted as if my only friends is the parishioners of Cocoa Beach Community Church. I never took the time to walk up the street and to say hello and hi to my neighbors until somehow they were sent to me to come and ask me, 'Are you okay?' God spoke to me." And I said to my wife, "We need to do something about it. We haven't moved and out enough to the people living around us. It's my fault." And I'm suggesting to her, let's just give an open house and just get the people in our street. The woman on the corner, if Tinka wasn't walking her dog, we wouldn't have known that her husband died. We saw the sail when they sold his boat, and we wondered whether they're going to move. But our neighbor died. And I was burying other people. And I do not realize that God's people is needed everywhere. I was needed down the street, but I was too busy to realize the urgency of people suffering, a neighbor dying, people reaching out. And then that's really what our message is about this morning. I was reminded that Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And you will remember just a year ago when one of our local churches were blown away just a few miles from here. It was all over the news, all over the country. One church was completely blown away. And the media came after the hurricane, and parishioners were walking around, and they were retrieving the Bible that was on the altar, but there was nothing left of the church. And finally, one of the parishioners, a woman, was crying there, and the cameraman walked up to her with a journalist and talked about the fact that their church was blowing away. And she dried her tears, and she said, "Well, yeah, you're right. We've lost our church building. But our church is not blown away. The real church is still here. And now we have work to do. God took our church through a hurricane. Maybe it's time for us to rebuild it better than ever before." Some of you have seen that interview. In her moment of darkness, with nothing else to fall back upon, this woman summarized the heart of our faith, her faith, your faith and mine. The darker it gets, the brighter the followers of Jesus Christ shine. For Jesus, love was no optional accessory that some of his followers might choose to decide upon if they so preferred and one day when they so decide. Jesus taught and demonstrated love as a foundation of faith. Now it's interesting, the Bible is filled with passages about love. You can go to any book in the Bible and there are references, some more than others. But Bible is being discussed from every possible perspective, from Genesis right through to the book of Revelation. Except one place. When John speaks about God, he says, not that God loves us. We know that. He doesn't say God has love for us. John says God is love. My friends, brothers, sisters in Christ, Jesus taught love not as a suggestion, not as a good idea, not as a byproduct of anything else. He simply said, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. And then he comes with, when I first realized what Jesus really said, I thought, Lord, that was mean of you. He said, just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. Just as I have loved you. Isn't this where we came? Because this bread tells us how much he loved us. This wine tells us exactly what this is all about. He said, this is how much I love you. And just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. It was spoken in a different language. We're hearing it in English today. But those are the words recorded of Jesus. Just as I have loved you. And if I thought before in my life that Jesus was giving me a choice, I am now sure that I have no choice. Then he goes even further, even deeper. And this is a bit shocking. He makes that a shibboleth. Know what a shibboleth is in the Old Testament? That is a sign, a common sign, where people could recognize one another. That's how Gideon and his faithful were recognized by the shibboleth. Then Jesus gives us a shibboleth. He says, by this you will know and everyone will know that you are my followers. If you have love for one another. So even if I may speak as if I have all the angels on my side, don't believe me, don't believe me. It's a sinner standing in front of you needing the grace of God. This sinner had to understand that unless you understand the core and the heart and the central message of your faith, you cannot call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ at all. Jesus said, that is your shibboleth. And only by the way that you love, people will recognize you as my follower. Only if you have love for one another. So this means that love for one another is as much a sign to the outside world of who and what being a Christian is about. Back to the tokens. This is a sign, says Jesus, when he instituted the first time at the Last Supper. He said, by this everyone will know why my broken body, my blood about to be shed, everybody will be reminded. And if you do not have the same love for your neighbor, you are not a lover at all by the standards of Jesus Christ. See, fellow Christians, there are no ifs, there are no buts, there are no maybes. If we in this place love one another, the world will know that this is truly a church of Jesus Christ. And they will notice our love for one another. And this is where we have to be careful. Because I hear people yelling at me all day long about what Christian love is. And usually when you hear it over some of the media, they tell you everything about love and then they give you 800 number. And say, well, the way for you to love Christ is to make me rich because I'm tax-free. That's not love. That's greed. That's abusing the wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, in order to further your own purposes. That's not love. Problem we have. We seem to say to one another, well, we don't speak about money in this church. And we don't. I don't think I've spoken 5 times about money. But you haven't been here this summer. You haven't seen what it means week after week to have our treasurer sitting here almost in tears because she doesn't know how to pay the new insurance on these buildings. They just keep rising it and lifting it and lifting it. And I wish Bob could tell you, sitting here, the leader of our Kivadas, he will tell you, we know for the sake of Jesus Christ that if Kivadas fails, this church has no future whatsoever. We can be dead by our current standards of finances in the next 5 years. And one of you told me, Fred, you're exaggerating. Trust me. I've served 17 churches on 3 continents in 3 languages and 3 cultures, white and black. I have to tell you, trust me. I know I've closed 1 church in St. Petersburg. It landed me in the hospital afterwards. It happened in my life. I shall not see this church die. And if this church dies, it will be my fault and it will be your fault because Jesus has given us the formula. He has given us the commandment. It's got nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with love. He said to Malachi in a vision, trust me. Trust me, said the Lord. Bring your tithes to the treasure chest. And just trust me, said God. And see if I wouldn't open the sluices of heaven and pour a blessing over you. Ain't that our God? The message is not, how are we going to survive financially in this church? God will take care of us. But then we must remember that God called us and God gave us a mission. And if we do not understand our mission, we shall have no church. And this church shall be closed down. The church that served in St. Petersburg for 106 years is now a restaurant. I built their stage for them with money that I collected. $200,000. And it was sold at an auction for a tenth of the money that God's people gave to make that church survive. There's no buts, there's no ifs, there's no maybes. If the congregation and the people, the members and the friends of Cocoa Beach Community Church do not return to God in their love and in their giving and in their devotion, this church shall be blown away, and we with it. That woman said, my church is blown away. But by blowing it away, God just gave us more work. It was broadcast over America. Someone describes it as follows. What is love? What is love? It is silence when your words would hurt. Oh, Fred, you and your big mouth. It is silence when your words will hurt anybody. We need to understand it. People do get us angry. People do get us upset. And it is the way that you and I respond. It's the expression on your face. It's the way that you not love. So simply, what is love? It is silence when you know that your words would hurt someone else. It's patience when your neighbor is hurt. Usually that was my excuse. Well, he's a grump. I don't have to greet him. I can greet friendly people. He doesn't care. I think he doesn't even like his minister. Why should I bother? There's enough that say, oh, you're great. God is not interested in the compliments that people would give me. God is interested whether I understand the need of somebody who feels he can be grumpy. It's a cry for help. It's a cry for mercy. It's somebody saying, I'm isolated. I'm drowning. I need help. It's also deafness when scandal flows. Some have witnessed it in this church. There's only one place for me that's really sacred in my own life in this old church. And that is the minister's study. And 45 years ago, my wife and I decided that she would stay out of the study. And she jokingly said, you don't tell me about what's happening in your study because I can't resist the temptation to tell everybody. Well, firstly, that's not true. She can keep a secret better than I do. But we had to understand that somewhere people need a pastor. Somebody that they can trust with their life. Somebody that they know that when I walk into that private space, nobody, not the secretary, not the people around, nobody will know what is spoken there. We speak God in there. That's where people come when they've lost a loved one. That's where people are broken when they seek healing. And that's where it's essential that you need to set your pastor free to do what God called him to do in the first instance. Tend my flock. Sad fact is that we talk about love, we chat about love, we laugh about love, and we have made love nothing but a four-letter word. Tell an American, ask any American in the English language, when you use the word love, what they think of first. We talk about love. We don't understand it. If we do not allow the God that is love to invade our privacy, to come into our hearts, to come into our body, to come into our souls, we as Americans will lose our country. It's election time. And anybody interested, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. Don't accuse me of conservatism, of liberalism, or whatever you, way you pronounce it in English. I'm a Christian. And I've learned that we should weigh our politics with our heart, with God in our hearts. Martin Luther King said from a prison cell long ago, we must agree to live and love together as brothers and sisters, or we shall perish together as fools. This nation, these 3 days, is so torn asunder by politics that they break good people down like you would do with somebody that you reject with all your heart. That's not God's people. May we, after this election, come together and once say that, understand that God said to prophets in the Old Testament, and when my nation call to me again in one heart, I shall open the doors of heaven. That's the message of Scripture. And God won't come in riding, galloping on a white horse. God will gallop into the lives of people through the love that we speak about when we reach to the tokens of forgiveness, when we break the bread and when we pour the wine. And as we do that, we will understand that Jesus wants us, His followers, to love as He did. And then we will break the bread. And maybe we shall weep as we eat, because we shall remember, this is what my God wants me to be. Jesus, in this broken bread, we discover your love for us. In this cup, we are reminded of the forgiveness that only you can give. Break now the bread of life, O Savior, for me, as you once broke the loaves beside the sea. Beyond the sacred page, I seek you, Lord. My spirit yearns for you, O loving God. Amen.